And now it's the time for the question and answer portion of this evening. Our first question will be poised by Susanna Tam, and it focuses on women's ministry. And in keeping with the numbers that were drawn earlier this evening, Adrian Carr will be first to respond.
In 2001, the newly elected provincial government eliminated the first and only freestanding Ministry of Women's Equality in the country. As well, in April 2004, the provincial government cut the annual $47,000 core grant to each of BC's 37 women's centres. Will your party, if it is elected to form a government on May 17, re-establish a freestanding Ministry of Women's Equality with a budget and staff levels that ensure the ministry can have a meaningful impact on furthering women's equality and social justice in this province?
Yes.
Is this on?
It's on.
Okay, yes.
And you have 3 minutes
and
to
yes.
respond.
Regarding the women's centers in particular, my sister ran the Boundary Women's Center in Grand Forks, and since the funding was cut, has been out there fundraising. It's all about, instead of providing the service for women, raising funds, little bits by little bits. Very difficult. But let me tell you also about the ministry. Of women's equality. It's not only about establishing a ministry that's funded, which is needed. It's about establishing real on-the-ground change, legislation. It was good to establish that ministry, but I believe that the NDP reneged on the real commitment to women by leaving it so late in the mandate. In fact, the last piece of legislation to bring pay equity for women forward. And to make sure that the actual changes in the real structure and delivery of equality for women happens in the workplace.
Okay. Would you like to follow with that, Jenny?
Yes, thank you. The answer to both questions is yes. And you know what? The Ministry of Women's Equality was actually established under the Harcourt administration in the early 1990s. And the beginning of that was the establishment in actually bringing childcare into place to support women. What I want to see and what I would like to see and what I dream to see is for us to develop a Ministry of Women's Equality and over time bring forward initiatives that will deal with women's issues from what my husband would say, the spring of life for women, and as well in the autumn of their lives. Because we know that economically women are faced with struggles oftentimes, and you know, when you have a child, you're taken away from the workforce oftentimes, and then when you re-enter, you're actually at a disadvantage, you don't have a pension to support you oftentimes, and that creates a lot of problems for women and many families that are out there. So there's got to be an approach in which we can actually address the entire continuum of women's lives, and including those who are faced with challenges midway through. And you know what, it is not a coincidence to say that housing, for example, is critical to women's lives. Linda Reed just said that the Gordon Campbell government puts $150 million into housing. You know what? That housing is just to keep the existing housing programs going. That is the subsidies for the existing affordable housing programs that were set up by previous administrations. There is no comprehensive provincial housing program under the BC Liberals. They canceled that when they took office in 2001. And does that help women? Linda Reed said that legal aid somehow was actually not fully funded by the NDP government. Well, what happened to legal aid funding under the Liberal government? A 40% cut to women, in legal aid for women's services in that area. And I'll tell you, I just dealt with a case where from somebody from Surrey, and it was a fact that she could not get legal aid representation. Why? Because her bruise has come and gone and is no longer visible. And that is now the policy of legal aid provision for women who face with violence, with child custody at issue. I take issue with that, and it is time for change. It is time to make sure that women's voices are heard. And I will admit that the NDP needs to work harder with you to address these issues, and I want to have that dialogue, because I'm a woman and my daughter is going to be a young woman. And I want her future and the generations beyond her to have a better tomorrow than what I have and than what my mother had. That's what building societies is all about. That's why we immigrated here as immigrants. That's why my mother took our family to come here to earn $10 a day to raise a family of eight, because they wanted their children to have better opportunities. And women in my family, and certainly all the women that I know, they are the pillar of foundation that roots themselves on the ground, and we got to support women in their work.
And Linda Reed.
the notion that it's the name of the ministry that matters is interesting. If you're an individual fleeing violence, you're not that concerned about what the ministry is called. We have always had a cabinet minister at the cabinet table in British Columbia responsible for women's services. And the issue is service, which is why it's a $37 million addition to funding for transition houses, which is why they're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's why there's programs to combat violence against women that matter to the lives of those children and those relationships. That program is in place today. When Jenny talked about Michael Harcourt's administration, the dying days of the New Democrats was the announcement of a child care program. Well, they had 10 years. 10 years where nothing actually happened. And in fact, Carol James was the director of child care in those years and made an announcement that was not funded. And frankly, Corky Evans of the day said, frankly, we made announcements for things we never intended to do. So at the end of the day, the sense that somehow child care is near and dear to the hearts of New Democrats, they had 10 years to demonstrate that to you and frankly didn't.
Thank you very much. And if people wouldn't mind holding on to their comments until the end, there will be an opportunity to have questions from the floor. Susanna, you have a follow-up question, and we're going to start this time with Jenny responding first.
I just had a brief supplemental question I forgot. Will your party immediately restore Women's Centre's funding, and as a starting point, commit to providing each Women's Centre with a $50,000 annual core grant linked to annual increase in the rate of inflation?
Thank you. Yes, we will restore the funding to women's centres. In terms of how dollars should be spent within the Ministry of Women's Equality, that's a dialogue that we would like to engage with the women's community. I know that core funding is absolutely central, having come from the nonprofit sector, and I would say for women's organizations and for many others as well. And you know what? The nonprofit sector, they do so much in bringing the volunteers in place, the board members and the volunteers that come together. And what we need to do is build the capacity of nonprofits because they do so much more and deliver so much more than what governments could do. So I look forward to that dialogue with you, in working with you, in strengthening the backbones of our community who do the work in providing the services to British Columbians.
Linda.
A $37 million lift to transition houses in British Columbia, the largest increase in funding in a decade. 20 existing women's centres today that receive funding. All of those things matter in the lives of families who have issues. The 24/7 access, the fact that families are supported, that children are supported. Those services are in place today in British Columbia and will continue to be in place in British Columbia.
And Adrian.
Yes. We would restore the funding. And the reason for restoring funding to women's centres is this. Funding for women's centres, as opposed to funding for crisis and emergency shelters, is that it is preventative. Rather than dealing with the problem once the problem has already existed. And don't we all want to prevent the problem from happening? Women's centres are about advocacy work and about being places where women can go before the crisis hits their life. It's a place where they can negotiate the really tough problems of figuring out where and which program they can go to for help. And yes, indeed, they are so cost effective. For every dollar that the government invests in women's centres, the women's centres raise at minimum $3 to $4 per dollar in the outside funding and programs, not even counting the volunteer help, the incredible volunteers they brought to those centres. So it is an incredibly wise, preventative measure, effective investment on the part of government, and so important to the lives of women at risk.
Our next topic focuses on health care, and Susanna, you have another question, and we'll begin this time with Linda Reed.
The medical services plan premium, which is an additional tax to access health care in BC, was increased by 50% on May 1st, 2002. At the same time that MSP premiums were increased, the provincial government cut services covered by MSP, for example, eye examinations, physiotherapy, chiropractic care, among other services. Women are particularly affected by increases in user fees and offloading costs because many women do not have an extended health benefits plan and on average have lower incomes than men. I'll give you both questions this time. The first one, will your party, if it is elected to form government on May 17, immediately roll back MSP premiums to the 2002 levels and restore coverage for the health services that were cut from the plan in the last 4 years? And two, will your party eliminate the MSP premium within your first term in office?
Thank you for the question. The income earners in British Columbia today earning under $16,000 do not pay medical services premium, do not pay pharmacare premiums, and frankly, for this administration, do not pay income tax. So the reality is there's a lot more dollars in the pockets of British Columbia women today than ever before.
Adrian?
Well, actually, it doesn't say in our budget and in our platform that we would roll back the premiums. Our budget was in print when we actually had a large discussion about this and realized that indeed it is retrogressive or a regressive tax to raise those premiums. So will it be in our next platform? Absolutely, because I realize how important that is. But meanwhile, what our platform does contain is the restoration of services and expansion of services under MSP, because to have cut services, which are, again, preventative, is incredibly damaging to health. So to not cover physical exams, to not cover eye exams, to not cover sufficient chiropractic and massage therapy and the kinds of treatments which really are whole person treatments is wrong. In addition to that, MSP has never covered and ought to cover preventative treatments that deal with addictions, for example, stress counseling or smoking addictions, in order to help people get off the habits that they feel ready to get off of to create better health in their lives. So MSP, though, is, in a way, it's the price we pay for not having invested in good health. And the Green Party is committed to a platform that keeps people healthier. And that begins at root with making sure our environment is healthy. We have canted, I wish I didn't have to say this. Three friends of mine on the Sunshine Coast in the last 8 months were diagnosed with cancer. Why are people getting diagnosed with cancer? Why are cancers at epidemic rates? And why are women dying of cancer at unprecedented rates in Canada? It's not just because of smoking, which is what the papers will tell you. It is because we have carcinogens in our air, our water, in our food. And it's time we got those out. It damages us, our children in particular, are vulnerable to this. So we are committed to starting good health at its root. We are a party that is committed to getting junk food out of schools. Andrea Reimer, here in the audience, who was a Vancouver School Board trustee for the Green Party, actually champions the campaign to get junk food out of our schools, which I'm happy to say the Liberals finally saw the wisdom of and decided we'd do it faster than you. I believe in praising where you do the right thing. It hasn't happened too often, Linda, but...
Okay. Keep it off. You're doing okay.
And believe that you have to get at the root causes of ill health, which do stem from poverty and the lack of affordable housing, as well as situations in our environment. Thank you.
And just to restate the question, Jenny, if your party is elected as government, would it roll back MSP premiums to 2002 immediately and then eliminate MSP premiums within the first term of office?
Thank you very much, Chef, for that very important question. This certainly is a goal that we want to work towards. And the first thing that we will do in the healthcare system is to reinstate some of the services that have been delisted that has actually impacted people. So some of the things that you talked about, physiotherapy care, chiropractic care, and so on, we will reinstate some of those services. We'll also try to actually address the crisis in our healthcare system because of the failure of the government and the Liberal government in delivering the 5,000 long-term care beds by 2006. And so the first year, what we'll do is deliver 1,000 units of long-term care beds in 2005, and then 6,000 more by 2009. That will actually free up some of the crisis that's in our healthcare system in the emergency room side to open up for the acute care services for people in need. And, you know, the other aspect of the success stories around healthcare are around centers like REACH, where they've actually provided a continuum of services to members of the community. And then from there, if we can find efficiencies, then what we can do, I believe, is find efficiencies so that we can reinvest those dollars into the healthcare healthcare system. We know that MSP premiums and pharmacare costs have actually gone up for many British Columbians. And I have seniors who come up to me to say, you know what, I cannot afford to continue to get the medication that I need because of the increasing cost. So the issues that you raise is a goal that we want to work towards, but I'm afraid that because there's so many things that we must restore under the Liberal government over the last 4 years, we won't be able to do it right off the top. But that's something that is top of mind and something that we want to strive towards.
Our next question regards legal aid. Margot Young will pose the question, and Adrian Carr will be first to respond.
Thank you. More women access legal aid than men. Currently, family law, including custody, access, and maintenance, is not covered by legal aid, and cuts to legal aid funding continue. As well, in 2001, the newly elected provincial government continued the practice of funneling the social services tax into the general revenue fund, as opposed to dedicating the proceeds to legal aid. I have two specific questions about this issue. First question, will your party, if it is elected to form the government, dedicate the social services tax and the legal aid transfer payments received from the federal government to fund only legal aid? The second question is, will your party restore funding for legal aid to at least pre-2001 levels?
Yes and yes. In fact, if you read our platform, you will find it specifically addresses the case of legal aid as you talked about. We note in our platform that the PST charged to legal services along with transfer payments was not directed towards those full amounts towards legal aid under an NDP government. The first major cuts and concerns about that were raised in the 1990s and certainly have continued since under the Liberals. The closure of rural courthouses has also had an incredible impact on women and women's access to services. So I'd like to just make a note of that. So beyond just restoring and making sure that, not even restoring, because it never was fully funded to the degree to which people were paying or the amount was being raised, we would direct that money to it, because that's an issue of integrity. When you tax people for a purpose, they ought to trust that that money gets put into the service or the program for which you believed you were taxed. The same holds true with federal transfer payments. Federal transfer payments, which have not been directed to childcare as they ought to, money since the Liberals took office has not been directed fully in that regard, that is lacking integrity. And I believe that government needs to rebuild integrity on those issues.
Jenny Kwan.
Thank you very much. Yes, the reality is that the government has actually cut 40% of the legal aid funding throughout the community, and many people are struggling with access to legal aid. And again, because there's so many cuts within the system, we will be able to restore a portion of the cuts to legal aid, and we would also work towards providing some of the supports to victims in our system, in the judicial system, in terms of supports for them and access to counseling and so on. And it is true, and I won't deny it, that when the NDP government was in place, that there were issues with not the full funding of the taxes went into legal aid services. If memory serves me correctly, it was short about $12 million. And that's something that needs to be restored, and that is a goal that I will commit to you personally, if I should be reelected as an MLA, that I will continue to advocate for, because I actually came out of the legal aid sector. My practicum from Simon Fraser University was at the legal aid office at Gastown, and I saw firsthand how many people required advocacy support and didn't get it, how many people required legal representation and didn't get it. And now under the Liberal government, it is absolutely stunning in terms of the lack of representation. And even Jeff Plante, the Attorney General himself, had to admit that with the cuts from legal aid from his own government, that meant that some people would not get access to justice. And that is not good enough. And that is a goal that we need to work towards changing and rectified. And I'm committed to that.
And Linda Reed.
There's $65 million that goes towards legal aid this year. There's 4.9 additional that is going towards some decent innovations around family law. And I restate, there have been some tremendous success stories for individuals who have actually had different dispute resolution mechanisms in these last 4 years, so that their children did not bear the brunt of a very onerous court system. I mean, I can't imagine there are many people in this room who would put a child willingly through that process unless there was an issue of violence or injury to that child. I can't imagine that. And I speak as a teacher, I speak as a parent, and I speak as a policymaker. So the innovations that the Attorney General has brought to bear have been useful innovations that have actually allowed access to services and to supports that were required. I'm going to take issue with Adrian Carr's comment that the dollars who came to this province for early childhood development were not spent on early childhood development. My commitment on that has been absolutely resolute. My integrity is intact on that question, and those dollars are available for public disclosure on the website in this province today. That dollar came to support early childhood development, and every single cent and then some has been put towards that use.
We still have some time left, and if I could just follow up, because I didn't quite hear the answer to the question about dedicating the social services tax specifically to legal aid. Is that something that your government would do, and would it restore funding for legal aid to pre-2001 levels?
I'm happy to repeat the answer. $65 million in this year goes to legal aid, $15 million additional dollars, which is $80 million. $80 million. $80 million. It's an enormous sum of money.
Okay, we are going to move on. Thank you very much. Our next question focuses on child care, and Susanna Tam is going to ask Jenny Kwan for the answer.